Your Excellency, Chiefs of Defence, Strategic Commanders, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. Mesdames et Messieurs, nous sommes honorés de réunir notre conférence annuelle ici à Prague à l'invitation des autorités tchèques. It's for you, Philippe. We are honored to convene our annual conference here in Prague at the invitation of the Czech authorities. We're gathering here under stormy circumstances, not only in terms of the weather with heavy floods in the Czech Republic, but also stormy in terms of the global security environment, which makes the protection of the alliance all the more important. 25 years ago, the Czech Republic made the decision to be part of the largest democratic family in the world, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. In a quarter of a century, you have proven to be a remarkable ally. The Czech Republic has brought forth exemplary political and military leaders. And Mr. President, you are of a very rare breed, being exemplary as both a political and a military leader. As former chair of the committee, of this committee, I imagine this is a full circle moment for you. It certainly proves that you can check out of the NATO headquarters anytime you like, but you can never leave. This military committee conference is the first gathering of Allied Chiefs of Defense since the Washington Summit. I would like to warmly welcome for the first time around our table in their new capacity as Chief of Defense, General Fanzina from Belgium, General Carignan from Canada, General Merilo from Estonia, General Vaikšnoras from Lithuania, and Major General Lavčiski from North Macedonia. We're also grateful to have with us the Supreme Allied Commander Europe, General Chris Cavoli, and the Supreme Allied Commander Transformation, General Philippe Lavigne. Both strategic commands are faced with a monumental task. We commend the relentless dedication that you and your staff show day in, day out. Speaking of dedication, on behalf of the whole military committee, I would like to thank our hosts for the gracious and generous hospitality they are showing us. Through you, Mr. President, and through your Chief of Defense, Lieutenant General Karol Reka, we'd like to thank all people involved for making this gathering a success. Mr. President, in a speech you gave as chairman of this committee 9 years ago, you stated that leaders in NATO must avoid becoming lost in tactical events. It is up to us to always place tactical events in a wider strategic picture. Only then can NATO properly anticipate and respond. These words still ring true today. In this time of rising conflicts, mounting political pressure, and increasingly complex and volatile security developments, it is crucial that we distinguish the tactical from the strategic, the incidental from the recurring, and the short-term actions from the long-term consequences. We are all deeply inspired by the way our Ukrainian brother-in-arms, Chief of Defense General Sirsky, is doing this. In the chaos of war, he and his staff retain their strategic vision, creativity, and military ingenuity. The Ukrainian armed forces are proving the world that there is nothing they cannot do. All they need is our support, and they will have it. Not only now, not only for the duration of the war, but also in the decades to follow. Every day, we grow more and more interoperable, until one day we will stand side by side under the NATO banner. Ukraine deserves our unrelenting support, not only because of who they are as a people, but also because of who we are as NATO. Mr. President, I would like now to first give you the floor for your opening remarks. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair, Admirals, Generals, ladies and gentlemen. It gives me really a great pleasure to welcome you once again in Prague. Unfortunately, extremely wet this time. It's an honor for Czech Republic to host for the first time a military committee conference as we celebrate the 25th anniversary of joining NATO, and actually in the same year when the alliance celebrates 75 years of its existence. It proved to be truly the most successful and long-lasting military alliance in the world, which doesn't mean that it is perfect. Being a human creation, it's imperfect as we are, and we have to constantly work on improving it. However, it proved to be very successful in taking on board countries like Czech Republic and many others, allowing them to become members of the zone of stability, security, and prosperity. And this is the experience that I made in total 8 years in NATO structures. That despite all the differences, despite all efforts that we attach to protection and promotion of our national interests, which is, by the way, natural, that in the end we always strive to come to an agreement, to come to a common position on a solution of challenges that we face. It is this culture that clearly distinguishes us from our opponents. And as we see the world today, it's no longer the world of bipolar competition between the West and East, but it is increasingly the world where we see the democracy competing with different kinds of autocracies. And as we all stand for the values of democracy, personal liberty, rule of law, human rights, these are exactly the values that are challenged by our opponents. Not just traditional, such as Russia, but also China, Korea, North Korea, and Iran. And many others are watching how this competition will develop. So it is up to us to show that our model is viable and it's worth of following, rather than to follow the model of autocracies. I would like to encourage you to be as bold and open in articulating your assessments and recommendations, because the rounder, the softer they are, the less they will be understood by political level. And the situation in which we find ourselves really doesn't allow us to be politically correct. We have to really be very well understood so that we take the right steps and the right decisions to protect our countries and our way of life. And I would like to wish you a successful conference and a lot of personal courage to be that bold and that open. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now give the floor to General Rukla. So, Carol, you have the floor.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. President, Admiral Bauer, distinguished colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. It is my great honor, as Chief of the General Staff of the Czech Armed Forces, to welcome all of you for the first meeting of the NATO Military Committee in the Czech Republic. It is a notable moment for us. The chiefs of defense of allied countries have come to Prague to discuss the challenges requiring our immediate attention and, of course, also the future of NATO's collective defense. The recent NATO summit laid out a clear path for our alliance as we confront a rapidly evolving security landscape. The threats we face are becoming more complex, and our responsibility as military leaders is to ensure that the strategic decisions are translated into action. One of the principal challenges we have been facing is the ongoing Russian aggression against Ukraine. For Ukraine, it is a war for survival, but it is also a fight for the principles of democracy, sovereignty, and territorial integrity that NATO exists to defend. It is imperative that we, at the top of our militaries, provide all necessary assistance to Ukraine, be it in the form of training or supplying weapons and other military equipment. By supporting Ukraine, we are also strengthening our unity and containing the Russian threat. However, it is not only the conventional battlefield where Russia is active. We remember very well when their agents killed two Czech citizens at an ammunition storage site in 2014. Russia is now increasing the use of hybrid tactics, cyber attacks, disinformation campaigns, and even kinetic acts of violence. All these actions are designed to sow fear and undermine the unity of our societies. We must, therefore, take a broad approach, one that integrates our conventional military capabilities with robust cyber defenses and strong civil-military cooperation. We must ensure that our military forces, institutions, and societies are ready to confront this blend of physical, digital, and cognitive warfare. The Czech Republic has drawn important lessons from the Russian aggression against Ukraine. We have revised our national strategies and defense plans to better address the threats. We have elaborated our national vision of future warfare beyond 2040, accelerated the modernization of our armed forces, recognizing the need for state-of-the-art capabilities. These actions reflect our deep commitment to national and collective defense and our understanding of the lessons Ukraine has taught us all, and those are: we must be resilient, prepared, resolute, and forward-thinking. Last but not least, we have made the crucial decision to spend at least 2% of our GDP on defense. However, as new challenges and requirements come to the spotlight, it is evident that 2% of GDP on defense spending will not be enough. This week, we have reminded ourselves of the horrible events of 9/11, 23 years ago. Unfortunately, international terrorism continues to pose a significant threat to NATO and the broader security environment. It is increasingly linked to wider issues such as migration, particularly to our southern neighborhood and the Middle East, where instability and conflict drive mass movements of people, sometimes exploited by terrorist organizations to infiltrate or destabilize nations. This requires our collective, far-reaching, and proactive approach. As military professionals, we must stay ahead of the evolving challenges by continually improving our coordination, enhancing our technological capabilities, and fostering greater interoperability between our forces. Let me restate what I have said in the past. All our defensive preparations, all of them, are in principle made to avoid and prevent a military conflict. Lasting peace cannot be achieved through concessions. That doesn't work. On the contrary, it encourages the possibility of escalation. That is why robust deterrence is so important. Our collective deterrence posture demonstrates our readiness and resolve to execute our plans, ensuring that any adversary knows that NATO is ready to defend every inch of its territory decisively and without any hesitation. And the Czech Armed Forces are a firm part of this endeavor. In closing, I once again welcome you to the Czech Republic, and I look forward to our discussions today. Thank you.
President Pavel, General Rukla, thank you very much for your inspiring words. Ladies and gentlemen, the NATO military authorities have two Herculean tasks that they need to undertake simultaneously. While continuing and ramping up our support to Ukraine, we must also bolster our own deterrence and defense. When we held this committee conference in Oslo last year, NATO's new defense plan, the so-called DDA family of plans, had just been approved. Over the past year, we have made huge strides in making these plans fully executable. NATO now has 500,000 troops on high readiness. We established the Allied Reaction Force. We are adapting our command and control structure, and allies are rapidly developing and expanding their capabilities. But our work is far from done, and we cannot do it alone. The responsibility for freedom does not lie on the shoulders of those in uniform alone. In order to succeed, we need a much larger defense industry production capacity. Because while it might be the military that wins battles, it's the economy that wins wars. The more we coordinate our defense production, the more we ramp up our deterrence. The more we ramp up our deterrence, the better chance we have of protecting the freedoms that we hold dear and preventing war from ever entering our soil. This is not a new idea. In fact, economic collaboration was a key factor of the Washington Treaty that was signed 75 years ago. While Article 5 often captures the spotlight, Article 2 is equally significant. In our liberal economies, the bulk of the power lies with the market, which means that any real change in production capacity will have to come from persuasion, not force. Persuasion of the argument that our economic prosperity is built on the foundation of security that NATO provides. This security is easily taken for granted, but security is just like oxygen. You forget that it's there until it isn't. Ukraine lost 40% of its GDP on the first day of the war. Every night they go to bed, Ukrainian CEOs have to wonder whether their factory will still be there in the morning. CEOs in allied territory don't worry about that. They worry about value, not values. But if the short-term commercial interest always wins out over the long-term collective interest, then we end up knocking away the foundation upon which our way of life is built. We need to move away from an era that was focused solely on efficiency and realize that we are now living in an era that calls for effectiveness. That also applies to our national governments. We need to remove bureaucratic barriers for procurement. Governments and the private sector need to loosen the mutually destructive chokehold, where each side is waiting for the other to move first in order to ramp up production capacity. This requires trust, long-term vision, and creativity. And I'm confident that we can achieve this. During the COVID pandemic, we saw what governments and the private sector can achieve together in finding and massively producing a vaccine. The same sense of urgency is required for the defense industry. NATO allies represent 50% of the world's economic power and 50% of the world's military power. We have it within ourselves to strengthen the strongest alliance in the world and at the same time bolster Ukraine's defenses. We can and we must achieve this, because autocratic leaders around the world are watching closely to see how the war in Ukraine unfolds. They are aiding where they can, seeking to create division and to destroy democracy abroad in order to retain autocracy at home. A number of formerly deeply isolated countries are using this opportunity to be part of what is sometimes referred to in the media as an alliance of autocracy. But I think alliance is too big a word for what is essentially a deeply flawed exchange of self-interest. There is no true friendship or trust. There is only a temporary alignment. Nevertheless, it is important that we see how the dots are connecting and that we realize that there is no stronger weapon in the world than our unity. Together, we will prove that democracy will triumph over tyranny, that freedom will triumph over oppression, and that light will triumph over darkness. Ladies and gentlemen, our sacred task is to support and enable the work of our band of 3.5 million brothers and sisters in uniform who defend our great alliance. Let us recognize their service and sacrifice, for they are defending the democratic values and the rule of law that form the fabric of our societies. On behalf of the Military Committee, I want to express our gratitude and respect for their courage, their professionalism, and their dedication. Our thoughts are with the loved ones of the men and women who paid the ultimate price for our freedom. Today, we especially pay tribute to the two Bulgarian pilots who lost their lives in a military jet crash yesterday. We also show our respect for all those who are dealing with the physical and mental effects of their time in service and who are looking for ways to continue serving beyond their service. We honor them as they have honored our great alliance. Please stand. Thank you. This concludes the public portion of our deliberations. At the end of today's discussion, General Reka and I will brief the media on the outcome of our discussions. I kindly ask the camera people to leave the room. And for the Chiefs of Defense, please remain seated.